Again, good morning. On stream, great to have you guys with us as well. We are the last Sunday of our series called Growing in Love, and we kind of been working off this idea that falling in love is easy. Most of us fall in love somewhere along the lines. Being in love is pretty common. A lot of people are in love or want to be in love, but growing your love is actually pretty rare. Over time, the storms of life and all that happens can really beat you up, and instead of that growing your love, you see it ebbing away or fading away. And so we're working on how do you do that? And we've identified that the falling in love oftentimes is like a physical or emotional love. And the physical emotional love is fed by, oh man, you make me feel good. You're beautiful, and what you did and what you say, you make me feel good. You're funny. This is great. And you just feed those two things, and the passion stays along the way. But for your love to grow, a growing love is actually a spiritual love. God's love is eternal. It's alive. It can forever grow. So that's kind of the foundation of where we're started and working from. And this morning, I would like to dive into an area and introduce this idea of storms and what happens during the storm. Matter of fact, we started the series by me telling you about how this works with lightning. My dad and I would be sitting at the kitchen table, a storm would go through, and this giant lightning would take place, and Dad would go, well, the corn's growing now. Because when lightning strikes, it actually does something to the atmosphere that causes nitrogen to fall to the ground, and then it feeds the corn that grows. And so that can be true in your life too. A storm can produce fertilizer. And why do we need fertilizer? Well, again, we said, hey, good soil is for the man. Good soil is answering the call. What's the call? That you're going to lead the people that you love. And for the wife, it is that she's also been given a call, and that is that she is going to be, she's going to put her hope in God, and therefore be able to build up, trust, even follow her husband. And at the beginning of the series, we planted some seeds, and as you can see, we planted these seeds in really good soil, so they really took off and really grew fast. But if you came a little bit closer, what you'd realize is, wait a minute, they seem to be turning a little bit yellow. It's because they need fertilizer. They need something to be able to nurture the nutrients and be able to do that. And so today I'm going to start with an illustration of a storm, of which this storm is universal. Everybody who's ever been in a relationship has experienced this storm. Now, this message is not to fix this particular problem. This is important. This is an illustration. But it's the classic. It's where do we want to eat, right? Where are we going to go to eat? And it can go guy, girl. That's not the issue, right? It's not like, okay, the girl always does this and the guy always does this. But we're going to go this way. She says, he says, okay, hey, where would you like to eat? And she looks at him with those big, beautiful eyes and goes, oh, honey, wherever you would want to eat, that's where I would want to eat. He goes, okay, let's go to Texas Roadhouse. You really, not steak, really, tonight? It's kind of far away, and I'm not so sure. He's like, oh, okay. How about sushi? Fish, really? And a half an hour later, you're furious at each other. You don't even know why. That, in all the couples I've worked with, I always ask them, what's the core? What happened? And they're like, we don't know. We don't know why, but we're just furious with each other. And so that is the question. What did happen? What's happening? Why does that happen? What's going on? Well, today I'm going to teach you about boundaries. And the boundaries are the ability to be true to what my spirit knows is best, while keeping my heart open to those who demand I compromise. Now, I use the word my spirit knows is best. It's kind of in line of the idea of a believer who's given his spirit to God. Your spirit's come to life. You may be here today and go like, I'm not into this Jesus stuff. I don't believe that. that stuff. The idea of compromise and what you really truly think is best applies to you well. You'll be able to take this and be able to use what we're talking about today. It has two sides to it. You're true to what you believe is right and good. Even if what you believe in right and good is not necessarily right, it's still what you believe is right and good. And the second half of it, just as important, it's freedom to the one who disagrees. It's freedom for the one who wants you to compromise. They're as you've noticed, putting pressure on you to compromise. It's freedom for them to be able to do what they want to be able to do. In our relationships, what happens when he says, if I tell her I want to go, no, I really do want to go to the steakhouse, but then she won't be happy with me, which means I'll put strain on the emotional and the physical. Guys know math really, really well. If this conversation doesn't go well tonight, then what I'm hoping will happen later tonight is not going to happen. And they are calculating, and they're like, you know what? I don't actually think it's best for us to have this conversation, keep talking about which one we're going to do, but I'm going to keep doing it. Why? I'm going to compromise to maintain the physical and the emotional so that I can feel close to each other. And what happens is you break trust. You don't just break trust with the other person, you break trust with yourself. You can't trust yourself. They can't trust you either. The second couple or picture I want to work from is it's like an epidemic in our culture. Almost every couple that walks into my office walks in with this situation. So they walk into my office, and without a doubt, it doesn't take me very long to find out he is shuffling into my office, and she can't wait to get there. Right? Pretty good chance he didn't make the appointment to come to this office. She did. And I do this every time. If you want to come see me, you can test me and see if I do this. Every time. They walk in the office, I look right at him. I don't even look at her. I go, what's the problem? What do you want to talk about? And she starts talking. Invariably, she starts talking. As it goes on, it becomes pretty clear that a couple of characteristics are taking place. One is, he's angry. He shows it in very passive ways, often, and then it'll flare up, but he's angry. He's given up. He's tried different things and it has not worked, and he's given up. And he's weak. He's clearly weak. He won't even speak up. I'll do it over and over again through that thing. I'll look right back at him and go, now, listen, I want you to answer this question. And he'll just sit there. And then she'll answer. And what's happening with her is she believes with all her heart she is trying to fix this situation. She's trying. She loves him so much that she's trying to fix the situation. And she feels incredible amounts of responsibility. She thinks she's responsible for everything. She has to fix it. Therefore, she is mega controlling. Why is she controlling? Because she thinks she has to fix the budget, the kids, the marriage, the house, the mortgage, all of it. It's really common. It's impossible to grow your love in that situation because you've stepped past these boundaries. And so we're going to just take one principle, one law of boundaries, and it's called the law of responsibility. Before I do, there's a book, a couple of books, Boundaries in Different Areas, and it's a great book that teaches about these things. The original Boundaries book is written for some pretty serious broken boundaries. You might be like, whoa, we're not that bad. You still can get the principles out of it. and be able to apply it. There's a second book that you probably have never heard of. It's called Machismo and Matriarchy in Spanish. It's, what's that word? I never speak Spanish in church. I never speak Spanish because I know Spanish people. If you can't do it well, don't do it. Right? So, Machismo and Matriarchy, this book will blow you away. It will help you to understand why this dynamic happens so often. It's so natural in your relationship. So I really, they have it both in Spanish and in English. It was originally written in Spanish, but this, and guys, it's a short book. You can actually read this one. All right. It will blow you away. I really encourage you to be able to pick that book up. So the law of responsibility is this. I am responsible to you. I'm responsible to you. In any relationship, you make promises. There's things they can trust you for. I'm responsible to do those things. When you get married, you're responsible to do those things. We talked about earlier, listen, if you want to answer the call of God, then you're responsible to love the one you lead. You're going to love her. You're going to provide for her. You're going to care for her. God has given you good soil. He's told us. He's invited us to be a part of what he's called us to do. You're responsible to do those things. Same for the wife. But I am not responsible for you. I'm not responsible for you. I'm not responsible for your actions. I'm not responsible for your reaction. I'm not responsible for the consequences of the decisions you made and the actions you took. I am not responsible to fix you. I'm responsible to you. I'm not responsible for you. So where do we get this principle from? Where do we get this idea of boundaries from? Boundaries is not a Bible word. Where do we get this idea? In its most basic sense, we get it from the way that God interacts with us. It's how God interacts. God clearly said to Adam, don't eat the fruit. Don't do it. And then Adam is about to do it. God did not go running in there and go, no, don't do it. Many, many people are like, why didn't he? He should have. He didn't because he didn't operate that way. He actually operates on boundaries. He also operates that way in terms of what we just talked about with the membership and salvation. God has done everything you need to be able to have a relationship with him and be able to have eternal life, what he calls abundant life. He's done everything you need to do, and he says, now listen, I invite you to trust me and come into that life. When you don't, right? When you don't, he doesn't run down here and go, oh no, you got to. You gotta come. No, you gotta come. You gotta come. He doesn't do that with you. There's a boundary there. He's responsible to you. He's not responsible for you to take that step of faith. That's yours. There's another passage in Galatians that it's not specifically about boundaries, but it's how you're interacting with people. And in 6:1, it says this, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin who live by the Spirit, those who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves. You also may be tempted. Carry each other's burden. This idea of burden is the idea of a boulder. It's like a crisis. So when a crisis happens, we help each other. When a crisis happens, we come in and we carry the weight the other person cannot carry. This way you will fulfill the love of Christ. We want to be that church to each other. We try to learn how to do that for each other. And then a few verses later, he says, for each one of you should carry your own load or burden. Only this is a different word. It means your own weight that you're responsible to carry. So, in other words, when someone shows up and says, hey, I forgot my lunch, and you go, oh, really? You're like, yeah, something happened with the kids this morning, and something happened here this morning, something happened there this morning, and you're like, hey, you can get my lunch. You're going to help them carry that thing. The third day that they show up and go, hey, I forgot my lunch. Can I have your lunch? You go, no. You need to bring your own lunch, right? It's their load. It's their that part or that responsibility. That's kind of the fundamental idea that we're working on. And so, I will, on one side of boundaries is, I will do what God says I'm responsible to do toward you. And we talked earlier in the series about God's inviting you to say yes to his call. Men, that means you will love, honor, lead, sacrificially lead. We use the illustration that when she's in trouble, you will jump the fence and knock out her enemy. You will see the enemies that are trying to attack her, and you're like, hey, I am here to help love and protect her. For the ladies, for the wives, it's that I will love by what? How am I going to follow him? I'm going to put my hope in God that God's going to take care of me, and therefore I'm going to follow this guy. I'm going to build this man up. Amazing calling on your life. That's what he's calling you. I'm responsible to do that toward them. So how does this work? Well, these gates here, they represent your boundaries. Important principle about boundaries. Boundaries are in no way meant to keep people out. I've interacted with a lot of people who talk about boundaries, and they use them as if they're there to protect them from getting hurt. And so I've got my boundaries to keep you out, to control your behavior. Exact opposite. Boundaries are all about your behavior. They're all about what you're going to do. Okay? So let's go back to the meal one. This is how it should work. If you're going to live by boundaries, it works like this. Okay, hey, hon, where would you like to go to eat? Oh, I'd like to go wherever you'd like to eat. Okay, I'd like to go to Texas Roadhouse. Oh, I'm not so sure. Honey, you were clear that you wanted to go where I wanted to eat, and I want to go to Texas Roadhouse. So that's where I'm going to go. You're welcome to come with me, but I'm going to Texas Roadhouse. Most of you are going, don't do that! Why? Because you know what it's going to cost, the physical and the emotional, right? Now, this is an important part about boundaries. You're like, doesn't it separate you? Well, in boundaries, you always keep the doors open. Boundaries always, healthy biblical boundaries, always keep the door open, which is, I'm going, I would love for you to go with me. But you're free to do whatever you want to do. In other words, after I go to Texas Roadhouse, I'm not going to come home mad at you because you didn't come with me. You can do that. You're free to do that. Now, a couple things will happen. One is, the next time, she'll forget how mad she is at some point. And at some point, she'll do the exact same thing again. Oh, you'll go back through it. And you're going to go, I'm going to Texas Roadhouse. You want to go with me? And she's going to be just as mad or more furious with you, which will put more strain on it. But then the third time, or the fourth time, she's going to go, I'm never asking him again where we want to eat. I'm going to decide. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to be, why? Because I can take him at his word. I've learned to take him at his word. When you say, you know what, honey, it's going to cost me the emotional and the physical. So I'm going to compromise, and I'm going to do what you want me to do, even though I don't think it's best for you. It's not even all what I want to do at all. You break trust. You don't trust them, they don't trust you. When you say, I'm not going to compromise, but you're free. Now, we usually don't do that. We either compromise or we don't compromise and demand that everybody else come along with us, right? No. Do this and you're compromised. There's a really cool example of a couple that were interacting. They, when this all started, they weren't even married. And so one of the couples, and again, in all of this conversation, who does the compromising, who does back and forth? It's equal between men and women. It's not like the guys do it this way and the girls do it that way. But in this relationship, one of them got into debt. They got into debt, and it got worse and worse and worse until finally, like, oh, no, we got to do something. And so the other one said, okay, that's a boulder. That's a crisis. I'm going to do something about that. I'll pay that debt off for you. And in a sense, they played that role. And it's okay. Then it happened twice. It happened again. And the person who wasn't in debt didn't really think it was good or right to pay off the debt, but what else are you going to do? Like, they're in trouble. I've got to be able to do this. I've got to do it. And so they paid it off again. And they noticed something that happened to them. They didn't trust that person anymore. They now felt like they had to follow them around and make sure they didn't get into debt again. They now went, from two adult relationships to one's an adult and one's a child. Why? Because you actually, you compromised what you knew was right and good. You walked outside of the boundaries. In the process, because I always like my stories to end well, in the process, they took financial peace. And it happened a third time. And the third time, the person said, okay, I'm not paying off the debt, but I will help you with financial peace. And then that person had gone in debt, learned those principles, got out of debt themselves, did the sacrificing that it takes, got out of debt themselves, and all that trust gets rebuilt, and they get to rebuild that trust and be able to move forward. So that's how you practice these responsibilities. Whether it's debt, maybe it's drunkenness and addictions. So you offer the solution, but you don't step out of here. Often, many, many times in all these situations, you're going to hear, well, you're judging me. To tell someone what's right and what's wrong is not judging. It's not looking down your nose at them. And they'll say, like, well, you should party with me. You should go, you should hide my addiction. You should, no. This is what I will do. I want you to come with me. You're free to go do what you're going to do, but I'm not going with you. Why? That's the wrong place to be. It's the wrong place to go. The same with anger. Anger is a really big one. Almost always in anger, the compromise is, I'm going to live in such a way to try to not get you angry. You're an angry person, so I'm going to adjust my whole life so you don't get angry. No. When you do that, you totally break trust. You do not move toward a solution. You move away from it. And so the way you would practice this with anger is, one, I'm not going to be angry with you. You can be as angry as you want. I'm not going to be angry with you. And number two, when you get angry, this is how I'm going to respond, and this is how I'm going to respond every time. You're free to get as angry as you want, but I'm not going to hang out with you while you're doing it. You're free to get angry as you want, but not at me. I've got this lined up. I'm going to take this step. When you do it, I'm gonna. You keep accelerating, I've got a friend we've got this lined up. I'm going to see them every time. Gonna hang out with them till you get done. I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna live in it. I'm not gonna pay for it. I'm not gonna do it. This is how I'm gonna respond. Same with bitterness, spiritual emptiness. Offer the solution, but you got to give them freedom to do what they're going to do, while you're going to do what you believe is right and what is good. I just want to remind you before we end the series that this isn't just for couples. We did it in that framework because more people can relate to, couples, like we're all in that. But many of you are not in a couples relationship. This applies to friendships as well. Take a look at this video.
What makes it difficult for you to stay with a friendship when you know you've outgrown them? For me, would be, as a Christian, I realize that I have a lot of friends that are non-Christians, and they have a lot of tendency to do things that I no longer want to take part in. So it's sort of hard to break away from that friendship when they could have been your friends since high school, or they could have been your friends since middle school, and you've just outgrown that environment. And for me, it's more like trying to figure out how I can still be friends with them, but not partake in some of the activities that they are still part of. One of the key points for me to make friends is, ironically, it's trauma bonding, only because since I am in healthcare, we do see a lot, we do go through a lot. So for me, trauma bonding is more of a way to sympathize with others and just connect with others while still trying to build friendships and empathize with them and know that what they're going through, you're not going through alone, and you have someone that's been through it or is going through it, and you know that you can depend on them and bond with them and build that friendship off of it. So yeah, that's what I got.
All right, through our series, first was the challenge to answer the call. And men, any of you who really wrestle with the call that God's put on your life to be the one who jumps the fence and protects your wife, be the one who says, you know what, I'm actually responsible to lead. I don't get to be passive. I don't get to be, hey, I'm doing the best I can. No, I'm called to lead the ones I love. You realize that's a really high calling. Yeah, that's what Jesus does. He calls you to a really high calling, and then he says, listen, I want to give you the power. I want to grow you. I want to build your character so you can fulfill that. And ladies, my feedback in group was, oh, yeah, Pastor Chris is talking about that submission thing again. No, I wasn't. That's not what I talked about. It's just, you're so conditioned to go, that you didn't hear it. To hear it was that God has called you to be the spirit that man needs. He's called you to be the helpmate, the one that comes along and completes, the one who builds up in a way that nobody else can. No one on the face of the earth can build a man the way a wife can. No one. If you ever accept that call, you're going to see your husband totally different than the way you do now. But you will also realize that's an incredibly high calling. Yeah, you're going to need some supernatural power, love. And Christ wants to change you and change your character. But you got to accept the call. He doesn't change your character and then you accept the call. You accept the call and then he changes your character. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to take what we've talked about and go, that's nice, now I understand that? Or are you going to do it? Between you and Christ, are you going to step into that relationship? And then what we talked about today, for some of you, this is brand new. You're like, that makes sense. I didn't realize that. Grab the book and mine it, man. Learn more about it. For others of you, I gave that illustration and I walked into that fence and you're like, oh my goodness, that's my entire relationship. I compromise all the time. Now be careful. People tend to apply this by walking out of here and punching whoever you love in the nose. I'm not doing that anymore. That's not the point. And that's not the way you do it. The way you do it is you go, wait a minute. God has called me to do what's best for them. And maybe they won't like it. But I got to clearly communicate, no, I believe this is best. That's why I'm going to stay here. And I got to clearly communicate, I'm going to love you if you don't come with me. I'm not going to be mad at you. You're free to be able to do that. I encourage you before God, step off the path you are on and step on to a path where when the storms come, the lightning can fertilize your love. It can fertilize who you are so you can truly love the person you're with. Before I pray, I just want to say kudos to my wife, Lori. She's really good at this. She's really good at this. You may or may not know she has arthritis, and so she's forever. Wait, I didn't even tell the story yet. Any idea she does, she loves ministry, she loves people, she loves to try to be able to make a difference. But she has arthritis. So any idea she comes up with, in the end, is going to cost me. I'm either going to help her, or she's going to be so beat up when she gets done that, So, without a doubt, I'll be working on something. I'll come home, and she will have been baking that day, and she got meals, and she got this idea, and she'll come home. She goes, listen, I'm going to take these cookies to these people and these meals to these people. You want to take me? And she's all excited. And I come up with five reasons why this is not a good idea. And she shouldn't be doing this. And invariably, she goes, did you get that from God? And then she'll go, well, listen, you want to come or not? Because whether you want to come or not, I'm going. And there I am, right? I'm sitting right there at the gate going, if I don't say yes, I look really bad as a pastor. If I don't say yes, I am going to lose the emotional and physical that I'm hoping for that night. And there are days I go, yeah, I'm going to come with you. And I get angry. And by the time we get home, she goes, are you mad at me? No, I lie. No. It's better that I go, hon, no, I'm not going to go. And sometimes I don't. 9 times out of 10, when I go, no, I'm not going to go, within 2 minutes, I'm like, you know what? I do want to go. And off we go, and it's fantastic, right? I don't want to present the picture, oh, we do this perfectly, it's great. I want to present the picture, we're still learning how to do this. No, that's not true. I know how to do this. We're still learning to do it. We're still learning to do it. And that's true for you. God wants to give you his abundant life. How do we get it? We believe him and then act on what he says is true. Lord Jesus, thank you for this series. Thank you for the truth that you've given us good soil. Thank you for the truth that you've given us these principles of boundaries so that we can build trust in the storm instead of destroying trust in the storm. Lord, for each of us, help us to be honest with you. Help us to be straight up with you so that you can lead us to the place of victory. In your name we pray. Amen.